The West Live. The West Live. With Jenna Clark.
$30 billion. It is a staggering amount of money. But I really want to try and break down exactly how all of this came about and now. And importantly, how the state government hopes to stop it. Now, to talk us through this, I'm joined by a commercial litigator and a woman who is a lot more intelligent than I am, Caroline DeRusso. Caro, can we start at the start? And what sparked this damages claim by Clive Palmer?
Good morning, Jenna. How are you going?
Good, good. Well, look, we've been up all night trying to decipher this bill. What does Mr. Yes. Palmer want from us?
Well, all mining projects in WA, they start with a state agreement. Mm-hmm. So an agreement is put in place as to, you know, what everyone has to do to be able to get a mining project approved. Sure. and headed off. So that there is completely usual. This one was from 2002.
Right.
And so under those state agreements, the proponent or the company who's making the application has to put a proposal to the government. Mm-hmm. And the government can approve the proposal, but sometimes they defer it, or they reject parts of it, or they ask for more information and whatever. So it's rarely a straightforward process. Mm-hmm. And in 2012, the Barnett government knocked back. Well, I think at first it rejected all the proposal. Mm-hmm. And then it approved it, but it was very heavily conditioned.
Yeah, there's about 46 conditions.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that there's what sparked off the first arbitration. So under this state agreement, if the company thinks that the government has acted unreasonably, mm-hmm. the matter can be referred to arbitration.
Right.
That's normal. That's mm-hmm. pretty garden variety. What went on to happen is that the government came off second best in the arbitration.
Oop.
And like you said, this has been going along and bubbling along in the background for a very long time. And I'm sure there's been a lot of settlement negotiations and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But they haven't been able to reach an agreement on this. So I think there's a trial set down for November this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Clive is still, he's still kicking about it. So it's been a long time in the making, but what has actually occurred thus far is pretty standard, save that it's for an eye-watering amount of money.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the unprecedented legislative background to all of this is the fact that now we are rushing through this emergency bill, which was presented late in the evening last night and will be debated today. I guess for some background, there's only like a 30 or so days left of Parliament left before they basically dissolve and head into election mode. So I guess what should West Australians be looking out for in this debate today?
Oh, look, it's actually a really interesting debate. And look, coming off the back, and I know this isn't related necessarily to the High Court challenge, but, you know, we are quite, we're quite hypersensitive at the moment about Mr. Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
But just in general, you know, money is tight, and $30 billion is a huge amount of money just to think that we could potentially have to hand that over. Mm. Clive Palmer's come out today and said it's not $30 billion. So I would like someone to please tell us actually how much it is. But in a sense, that there's almost secondary because when you look at the legislation, you know, there have been disputes between private companies and the state since day dot.
Mm.
So this is not really unusual, save for the amount of money. So the draft bill that has been rushed through yesterday, essentially what it does is anything in relation to this dispute with Mr. Palmer, the government has no liability for. The government, the arbitral awards that have previously been made in Mr. Palmer's favour are of no effect.
Mm-hmm.
There can be no appeal or no review of the state's conduct in relation to the dispute. The rules of natural justice don't apply, and for anyone who's even brushed up against the legal, you know, the court system or whatever, you know, there are rules and processes in place to make sure things are done as fairly as possible.
Yes.
Any proceedings that he brings will be terminated. And it also says that the Freedom of Information Act doesn't apply in relation to the dispute.
Mm.
So, and one last thing, Mr. Palmer indemnifies the state in relation to the dispute. So it's incredibly far-reaching.
Yeah, yeah. So when you say indemnifies the state, for people that, like myself, we've only ever watched Ally McBeal, what does that specifically mean?
So everything in here is drafted really broadly.
Yeah.
So in a sense, it's a little bit difficult to pinpoint exactly how it will apply because, as you know, facts apply to... laws apply to facts and circumstances differently. But essentially here, you know, if he's caused any loss or damage or cost or whatever, his companies essentially have to, indemnify the state in the sense that the state won't have to pay for it. He will be liable for whatever loss and damage is suffered.
Wow. It's pretty severe stuff. And I guess that you say this has been happening, this type of back and forth and argy-bargy with corporate Australia has been going on for quite some time. Do you think that he has a leg to stand on when he says that it could scare off? I mean, you have worked in the mining sector for as a litigator previously. Would it scare people potentially investing in WA off, do you think?
Look, it does have that potential. We obviously don't know until that plays out. But, I mean, ultimately, we need to remember that this is a commercial dispute under a state agreement. It went to arbitration in accordance with the agreement. The government came off second best, and now they're throwing their toys out of the cot. So, you know, I guess with doing business in Australia, you know, once state agreements are done, and look, others have been amended before and whatnot, so governments aren't perfect, but, you know, there's not the sort of behaviour that people expect out of Australian governments or governments in the West in general. You know, they expect to be able to, okay, we're going to make this massive investment. We want to know the rules to the game. We don't want to see the game change later on. And, okay, Clive Palmer is pretty unpleasant and he is pretty litigious, but that's on brand. He's been that way since the 80s. This should not be coming as a great surprise to anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Interestingly, last night, Mr. Quigley really banged the drum around, this legislation does not give rise to things like sovereign risk. To people that may not understand that term, what does that mean, Caro?
Well, when companies are doing their, you know, due diligence essentially and trying to work out whether they're going to invest in a certain place, you know, they go through a whole risk management process and they think, okay, we're going to stump up this sort of money to be able to do this project. We want to be able to make this much money out of it. But we need to understand what the risk profile is in dealing in that jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So, you know, the risk profile of dealing in Australia as opposed to, you know, mining in Africa is totally different, right? Because of all the political upheaval and corruption and those sorts of things. So sovereign risk is really just a slice of the decision-making process as to whether a company thinks it's worth risking their money in a jurisdiction.
Wow. I guess it's really fascinating for people that aren't involved in all of the things that happen behind the scenes to get big mining projects off the ground in WA. What do you think the chances? I know I'm not asking you to look into a crystal ball come November, but I guess, you know, the state has lost in a number of arbitration hearings so far. What do you think our chances are if this legislation does or does not pass?
Well, the thing is, we know this, say for example, if this legislation doesn't pass, we know it's going to trial. We don't know, well, I don't know enough about what the nature of that claim is.
Yeah.
And when things go to trial, you tend to break them up between liability and quantum, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to determine whether you're liable first before you determine the amount of money. So just because someone's claiming $30 million, allegedly, doesn't mean they're going to get $30
million. Yeah.
And in fact, rarely do people get everything that they're actually looking for. So there's that aspect there. The other thing is, look, I know the state government, you know, it costs a lot of money to get these sort of matters to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that they do want to pass this legislation, but I don't understand why it needs to be passed today.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think that there should be more consultation, you know, within the Houses of Parliament themselves. The public should should get to know more before everyone just goes, oh, we're just going to put this through, we're protecting you, don't worry about it, it's all fine.
Yeah. And interestingly, now this probably is very bubble, but I have to ask a question. There is some pieces in that legislation around information like freedom of information. And I guess that's when that people can basically apply to have information released from the government. In certain appendixes of this legislation, that does not apply and will not be allowed. Is that concerning?
Oh, look, I think any time that the government, and look, it's a bit difficult because there are certain circumstances where we understand that, you know, you can't apply for information. So things that are very security related, you know, it can be difficult to get information under Freedom of Information Act and that sort of thing. But as a general rule, the government should be looking to be transparent. And to the extent, I mean, you have commercial confidentiality as well, but to the extent that I'm sure there's plenty of other documentation around this dispute that isn't necessarily strictly commercially confident, the government should be trying to be as transparent as possible, particularly given, you know, that this legislation is really quite the sledgehammer.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I guess we will only be sitting passively up in the press gallery this afternoon when the bill is debated. What would you be hoping from, I guess, as a West Australian citizen and also a litigator, what would you be hoping that the opposition really presses the government on?
Well, look, I think we really need to understand a bit more about the background of the bill, like why they think that something like this is so necessary. Because, I mean, I did have a read through Hansard yesterday and I understand the points, but in my mind, it's a commercial dispute.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the State Solicitor's Office has gone through this and they obviously know this back to front and inside out. But, I mean, why couldn't you do something, say, for example, have a cap on damages?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you legislate a cap on damages? Why do you have to burn the whole house down, you know? And that there, I suppose, is the bit for me. I really hope that the opposition ask questions around, okay, we understand this is important, but why is it necessary to be done today?
Yeah.
You know, why are there, for example, those provisions, you know, saying the Freedom of Information Act doesn't apply? Why, you know, those are the sort of things that they should be asking questions about. And I guess, you know, at the moment and for this government, you know, I understand this is a commercial issue, but, you know, there's a lot of political stuff going on in the background in relation to Clive Palmer.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a sense, for the Labor government, it's a great political move. But whether ultimately it's a great legal move, you know, I think there's a bit more to play out there.
I cannot wait to see what you think of it. And we can follow you at Caro DeRusso on Twitter, commercial litigator, contributor to Sky News and also a great columnist for The Spectator magazine. Caroline DeRusso, thank you so very much for joining us on The West Live.
Anytime, Jenna. Thanks.